If you can wade into the political arena and make it out unscathed, you must be doing something right.
Brian Burke is your host for Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Welcome to Kitchener Today on Monday, February the 14th. It's Valentine's Day. No, honey, I didn't get you a damn thing because every day is Valentine's Day. Love is out there. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. However you want to take that, entirely up to you. Coming up this afternoon, could the police in Ottawa be sued for failing to arrest people? That's a lot of lawsuits they could get into. 1 o'clock this afternoon, we have one of those enormous radio announcements. Right, where you say, hey, we got a big radio announcement, you want to stay tuned, and it turns out to be tickets to a Donnie and Marie Osmond tribute show. Could anything be worse? And then we'll be joined by one of my favorite guests, Ari Goldkind, for no reason whatsoever. We're just going to talk to Ari for the hell of it. And Doris Grinspoon, another one of my very favorite guests, will join us just after 1:30 this afternoon. Yes, there is some separation on the spectrum there, but that's okay. Plus, because I'm here to help you with your love life, Gary Foster, a professor in philosophy at Wilfrid Laurier University, will talk about love and dating in the philosophical realm. And, of course, we have a fabulous contest at 2:30 this afternoon for all you lonely people. We're giving away dinner for one. I don't know how yet, but I'll make it up as I go along, because that's kind of what I do here. That is all to come. But first,
now we're talking. See, Brian Burke.
That is a theme.
That is absolute. That's a theme.
I think that's the best possible theme.
Well done.
So you'll
took
find
you
out,
long enough.
You'll find out at 1 o'clock this afternoon why I picked the best possible theme to play for this particular segment. So well worth it,
Paulie. Hang on to that one. I might need it later.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is.
That is a very good one. Wow, what a! It's. I feel so much better today than I felt a week ago because I was pneumoniacally out.
Pneumoniacally.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think that's a word. I'm not sure if it is.
It is now.
Because I had the pneumonia.
Yes.
Which will really kick you on your, knocks you down. And I wasn't really feeling great until Saturday. But today, listen to these dulcet tones. All of it's here.
It is back.
Yeah. It's very nice to see. And just like feeling 100% better, which is nice because I still have like 8 days of horse-sized pills to take.
Isn't it amazing the perspective that is gained from even the shortest of illnesses? So I haven't had the pneumonia since I was a kid, but even in my adult years, if you're down with a really bad cold or maybe it's a touch of the flu, who knows, for 2-3 days, just how we take for granted the days where we're not suffering from any of the things really gives you some perspective.
Yeah, and when I woke up on Saturday morning and I did not feel like I had been hit by a bus,
mm-hmm.
and not one of those self-inflicted hit by a bus feelings.
Right.
Because I generally, it had been a pretty dry February, which is probably good when you're taking pills and things like that. But when I woke up on Saturday morning, I went, I feel like a human being again. This is awesome. And I felt like a human being for most of the day. Every day's been better. You know how it is when you get sick and you get up in the morning and go, hey, I feel pretty good. And by noon, you're toasted. I had a couple of those days, but yesterday was the first day I didn't feel toasted. Today's even better. So it's nice to be healthy. Just in time to lift all of our restrictions.
It's perfect. Timing could not be better.
I've been in and out of the news world today. So what are we talking, March 1st?
March 1st will be the end of the vaccine passports. This week will be the end of capacity restrictions in many areas.
Now, I think the big venues are still restricted.
The big ones
bit,
are,
right?
But restaurants and whatnot can go back. But yeah, sporting arenas and concert halls, et cetera, will still be at, well, they'll be at 50% capacity, which is still a little bit sooner than they had originally. It'll be before the long weekend instead of after.
So I guess the convoy worked.
Oh, yeah. Of course it did.
Yeah. People are going to say that anyway, so what the heck? Let's just buy into it.
Since you brought that up, exactly. Can we just, like, let it be said, it's okay. Because it matters not if the convoy worked or if Doug Ford came to his senses, or however you want to characterize it. Let's just enjoy what's to come. It doesn't. There's no winner, loser. It doesn't matter, because if we get caught up in that, then we're caught up in it.
Well, you're wrong. There is a winner and loser because of the desperate people who want to be right about something.
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to hear all about that, as we do on a daily basis on Twitter.
Certainly.
All the people who want to be right about something and are not shy about telling you how right they are. That's what we're going to get. Look, I'm happy about it. So would that means the Rangers would be able to go to, I guess, 50% relatively soon?
Correct.
Is that the way that works?
They would be as of this Friday, except we're playing a road game, oddly enough, on a Friday.
That is unusual.
The Kitchener Rangers have many a road game to make up for, so very few home games left, to be honest, like 9, 8. So anyway, a week Friday, the 25th, is the next home game after tomorrow. There's a home game tomorrow, still at 500. A week Friday, 50%, baby, let's have 3,900.
So I'm going to guess on that, because everything seems to operate on a 30-day basis, that maybe by the time we get to 1st of April, full capacity or sooner?
I am hoping, because according to the original plan, Feb 21 was going to be half capacity.
That's right.
March 21 was going to be full. So if they've bumped up Feb 21 to Feb 17, maybe
mid-March?
Bump it up then.
See, that's the thing, right? Let's celebrate these little victories, because we don't have a whole lot of them lately.
I am with you 100% on that sentiment.
Yeah, we were out yesterday doing a couple of things. My wife needed new glasses, and this seemed like an opportune time to get some new glasses. So we were making a spectacle of ourselves going to several different places, and it was really busy. We were in Conestoga Mall yesterday. It looked like Christmas time.
Really?
It was quite remarkable.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we had, I think we had been in there, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and usual, fire a cannon off and not hit anybody. But it was busier than it was before Christmas yesterday. And then as we're driving back, and we came down a couple of the main streets, right, like Bridgeport and stuff like that, the traffic at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like a weekday. So I think people are out.
Yes. I think they have been for quite some time,
yesterday,
to be honest.
It was really much more noticeable than it had been.
There was one house on my street where there were many a car parked out front. So I'm assuming some sort of Super Bowl party, perhaps.
Yes.
I think these things just, they've been happening, Brian.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if people got out of the restrictions maybe before the government did.
Yeah. It would not surprise me one bit.
And so I go through this, and I have family members who tested positive over the weekend.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So it's still fine. It's not gone. You know, recognize that as we go along.
Well, and this is the one thing that made me a wee bit uncomfortable with Doug Ford today. And let me be clear up front. I am ready for the announcements that he made. I'm ready for indoor dining again. I'm ready for, quite frankly, I personally, my own tolerance level for risk, I'm ready for 100% capacity at hockey arenas and whatnot. But anyway, so I'm ready for this. I'm okay with the direction. But it did seem to me, in listening to Premier Ford this morning, that it almost sounded like he was writing off COVID, like we're done now. And I'm convinced, I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty darn sure there's going to be another variant at some point. And what then? I don't know. But he made it sound very much like COVID is over. It's overtime. And I don't think it's overtime just yet.
No, but I had always said that this was never going to be something that ended with, you know, some politician somewhere standing up going, it's over, it's over. You know, let freedom ring. That's never what was going to happen. It was always going to end with a whimper and not particularly with a bang. So this is, I guess, the first of the whimpers.
Fair enough.
But let us celebrate our whimpers, because it'll be nice to see people out. We went to a grandson's hockey game on Saturday. The plan on Saturday was actually to go to grandson and two granddaughters' hockey games, but the two granddaughters, out of the mix. You don't get to go to things right now.
Right.
So it was still a bit of a mess. And, you know, I guess some of us will wear our masks longer than others.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that this morning, and I'm even reluctant to say out loud because foolishly superstitious. But I tend to get multiple viruses throughout the course of any one given winter. And so far, just one. I thought, is that piece of cloth helping a little. Maybe it is. It inclines me to lean that way. I don't know that I will long term because I don't love it, but we'll see.
Yeah, having been in places where mask wearing was quite common, Tokyo,
yep,
for one, Taipei is another one where mask wearing is pretty not common to the point of what we've seen here over the last 2 years where everyone's wearing a mask. But seeing somebody wearing a mask on the street was certainly not unusual in both of those places, many times for air pollution reasons, right? But so I'm kind of comfortable with it. Probably keep them around in those spaces where there's lots of people. They've never particularly bothered me. Maybe I'm just lucky that way. But again, we'll judge it as we go along.
Yep,
I think,
absolutely.
Which is all we can do. And again, thank goodness for the convoy, because that's what made this happen, damn it.
I guess you should it's thank a trucker day, isn't
that's
it?
That's all we can do. If you yell and scream loud enough, you'll eventually get what you want. What a tremendous system of government that is. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Very interesting. I did watch the Super Bowl yesterday, even though I didn't care about either one of the teams. I have no particular interest in them one way or the other, right? So I watched that, and the Super Bowl, of course, not my genre. But what I found was funny, we were sitting, my oldest daughter came over to watch that and just kind of chat, and she's 40. So that's kind of in her wheelhouse, that stuff, right? And she was said, I'm so happy that they finally decided not to have a halftime show for old people. And I looked at her and went, you know what that means, right? You're the old people now.
That's a very good point. You thought you were young, but you're not. Yeah,
they're not doing it for the kids, honey. You're in your 40s. You know, and this is your retro space. That's why they did it. And I think that was somewhat shocking to her. Again, you know what? Not my genre. Enjoyed the performances. Have no issue with it one way or the other, and fully understand why the NFL does things, because they do things because they figure they're going to make money off it.
I had no problem with any of it other than the lip syncing. I don't know why this is a constant thing now. And I made reference to a Dolly Parton Christmas special that I stumbled across back in December. And there's Dolly lip syncing her way through songs. I thought, why? Just, you're a singer. You've got one job. Please sing.
You see, now I wonder about it on those kinds of things, right? Like the television specials, etc. I can see it in a big venue like that, because I just don't think the sound would be very good, really. Certainly not what we kind of expect. It's different to set up for, you know, an entire 3-hour concert than it is to set up for, you know, a 20-minute show in the middle of a football game. I think it requires more. And see, because we have an expert in Paulie here as a sound tech, he would probably know.
That's a very fair point to make. But then I don't know why you don't just dance or show up and wave or something. And because I want my performers to perform, not to fake it. I'm sorry.
What we started doing, because I had mentioned to my daughter, well, you know, we go back years and years and years ago. There's none of this big production, none of these big names. And man, oh man, you go back to the 70s. And the 80s to start with, and even into the 60s, and the Super Bowl shows, they should do one of those again, because those would be spectacularly lame.
I don't remember what they were all about.
A lot of times, like, for example, if they were holding the Super Bowl in Dallas, it would be the University of Texas marching band. Now, I like a marching band. Doesn't really seem to be. Up With People was another one. Remember them?
I do remember Up With People.
They did like 3 Super Bowl halftime shows.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And, just huge lists of people. What was George Burns? George Burns.
Nothing wrong with George Burns. Well, oh, God, you devil.
Well, I know, but still.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's not really much of a halftime show.
I'm the old guy in the room. I'd take it.
Oh, no. I like George Burns at the time.
Sure.
Right? But it was. There's some really, really, really interesting Super Bowl halftime shows from those days that if you didn't like last night, oh, you would love them.
Oh, that's funny.
Terry, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. 3 times a charm. It's the 3rd time I've tried to get through.
You can call as many times as you want, Terry.
Yeah, we didn't have time for him first thing this morning. Then he got some bad echo, so he hung up on me.
No, listen, I can't talk when I'm when I'm hearing my. It's distracting. I think I was just talking to Paulie. I think it's when he answers, something gets clicked. It doesn't happen all the time, just the odd time. But yeah, it's weird how that. It's just so distracting because I can't, you know, I can't talk and then hear myself at the same time. So, but yeah, I would have called back, Mike. But you had so many calls. I know you're towards the end there, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get through. But the reason I'm calling, Mike, you were talking about the Super Bowl show. Listen, I don't watch the Super Bowl halftime show. I usually go do important things like dishes or the laundry or something like that. But I have caught glimpses here and there. You try doing like 5 minutes of jumping jacks and then try to sing. See how well you sound, Mike.
I totally get that. But here's my point again, Terry. That's your job. If you don't want to dance around, then just sing. If you want to sing and dance, then you know what? Go to the gym and get ready to sing and dance. That's what impresses me.
But it's hard. You know, it's more entertaining when you're jumping around and dancing and doing and twirling up in the air and bungee jumping off a platform. But yeah, that's why they lip sync. It's clearly because you can't sing and jump around like a fool at the same time.
I think you can if you want to.
Yeah, you just gotta be in shape.
Yep,
that's all.
That's just me.
But listen, they should go back to the old days. They just have the marching bands out there at the 50-yard line and do the John Philip Sousa march. So that'd be perfect. I think they should just go back to tradition. Anyway,
well, on that note, Terry, and thanks for the call. The first Super Bowl, January 15th, 1967. Halftime show, University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band, Grambling State University Marching Band, the Anaheim High School Anaheim Steppers Drill Team and Flag Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And trumpeter Al Hurt. I don't know what trumpeter Al Hurt is doing in that list. So that was that one. If you go to January 1970, Super Bowl IV was held in New Orleans. And as in the great tradition of New Orleans Super Bowl halftime shows, everyone has Will the Saints Go Marching In, because they always do that. Doc Severinsen.
Excellent.
Right?
Yep.
Oh.
Johnny Carson's sidekick.
Yep. And trumpeter. Al Hurt's back again. I know. Lionel Hampton.
Ah, very nice.
Carol Channing?
Come on.
I know. January 1971 was held at the Orange Bowl, so obviously it would have a Miami-type flavor.
Yep.
Which would explain the Southeast Missouri State Marching Band, which did the entire halftime show. All right. January 73, Super Bowl VII. The University of Michigan Marching Band, Woody Herman, and Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
Nothing whips up a crowd more than Andy Williams. January 18th, 1976 at the Miami Orange Bowl. So 200 years, bicentennial for the United States. They went with Up With People.
Perfect.
Yep. January 1977, the Disney cult moved in. They brought in the new Mouseketeers and the Los Angeles Unified All-City Band.
Whew. I'd like it. I say go back to it.
Number 12, Louisiana Superdome. The Tyler Apache Bells Drill Team.
Ooh. I bet you they're doing drills.
Bet you they're good.
I bet you they're playing songs.
The Apache Band.
There you go.
Pete Fountain.
Who?
Thank you, Pete Fountain. And?
Andy Williams.
Nope.
Al Hurt.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Number 15 in 1980. Once again, guess who's back?
Up With People.
Up With People is there. They're also there in 1982, which was Salute to the 60s in Motown. And I don't know if any of you remember Up With People, but I'm not sure that Motown and Up With People actually fits.
They couldn't get Diana Ross,
if you, well, I guess apparently not. Here we go. 21, Super Bowl 21, January 1987.
Okay.
It's not that long ago.
35
right?
years.
Right. But we know a lot of entertainers from 1987.
Sure.
We would like that, right? No, you wouldn't. George Burns.
I still like George Burns, just so you know.
Like George Burns, I'm just not sure he's entirely relevant.
Okay.
Mickey Rooney. Various Disney characters, because the Disney cult has moved in one more time. On the next year, it was in San Diego, Chubby Checker. Because what's relevant to 1988 more than Chubby Checker?
That's a very interesting choice.
The Rockettes, and then a variety of marching bands. So we really haven't gotten to a big name yet, right? Pete Fountain's back in 1990, of all times. Here's one. New Kids on the Block, 1991.
That's probably about as big as it gets.
That's pretty good. In 1992, it was Olympic figure skaters, because they were holding it in Minnesota. Really, you want to go to the first one with an actual gigantic big name. It's January 31st, 1993. Super Bowl 27 at the Rose Bowl. Michael Jackson. There you go.
There you go.
That is really the first time that you get a monster name After that, the next year, they went to Tanya Tucker and basically cut the legs out from underneath themselves.
And did Michael Jackson sing back in 93?
I have no idea. Hmm. I also know that hanging around in the parking lot, an unemployed Al Hurt. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Ooh, I love the things you say. Talk to me. Talk to me. In your sweet gentle way. Let me hear.
Coming up this afternoon, just after 2:30, I still haven't figured it out, but we'll do something during which we will give away dinner for one on this Valentine's Day, which if you forget your Valentine, you may well have dinner for one in your life. just the casual warning, if you're out today, do something nice. That's all you can do, right? So dinner for one just after 2:30, and Ari Goldkind joins us just after 1 o'clock this afternoon after we make a bit of an announcement. It's one of those radio station announcements you don't want to miss. Erica Chamberlain is a professor and dean at the Faculty of Law at Western University, writing in The Conversation, asking the question, could Ottawa police be sued for failing to arrest Freedom Convoy protesters? Erica joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Erica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So you've asked the question, what is the answer to it?
Well, I think the classic lawyer's answer is always, it depends, right? So it's interesting. This issue came up when I was teaching my first year law students the other week about police failure to protect victims of crime. And so we were looking at the existing law and then seeing, you know, it naturally came up whether we could also apply it to the situation in Ottawa. So the existing law in Canada is that police can be sued for failure to protect victims of crime if they foresee that a crime is likely to happen, if they have a known perpetrator, and if they have a narrow and fairly foreseeable class of victims. So the classic case in Canada is a case called Jane Doe, where there was a serial rapist in a fairly narrow area of Toronto operating by entering women's apartments through second and third floor balcony doors. Police knew that there was a rapist in the area. They suspected the crime would happen again, and they did nothing to warn the women or protect the women from that rapist. And so Jane Doe, who was one of the victims, when she found out about that, she sued the police successfully for their failure to protect her. And as I said, the law is generally based on the idea that we have a foreseeable crime. So there we knew there was going to be, or we knew it was likely that the rapist would strike again. We had a known perpetrator and we had a fairly narrow identifiable class of victims. So that's the existing law in Canada. The question is, does the same kind of situation apply in Ottawa? And I'm thinking particularly about businesses that have had to close during the protests. I understand the Rideau Centre, for example, is losing about $3 million a day. So does the same kind of law apply in this situation? I think there are some differences when it comes to the situation in Ottawa. Obviously, we're mostly dealing with economic loss as opposed to physical harm. And for the most part, Canadian tort law is more worried when people are injured than when they suffer some kind of loss of profit. So that's one distinction. Also, in the prior cases where police have been sued, usually we have someone who is being targeted by a perpetrator, so a victim of domestic violence or gang violence or a serial rapist who's being targeted. It's not quite the same situation in Ottawa. The businesses are not being targeted. Their losses are more kind of an indirect byproduct of the disruption that's going on. And then in terms of police having to balance off other factors in Ottawa, you know, they've got issues of manpower, whether they are able to actually take control of the situation. There's risks of escalation that they are concerned about. And then they have to worry about balancing freedom of assembly and freedom of expression, which are not issues that you have to deal with if you are obviously trying to control a serial rapist. So I think there are some differences there, but we still have, a known offense that is ongoing and, quite clearly out in the open. We've got things like mischief and contempt of court going on. We have known perpetrators, known protesters there, and we have victims, particularly in the downtown core, businesses that are losing profit every day. So I think there's an arguable case. It's certainly not an open and shut case.
Do we have some kind of precedent for those kinds of cases, Erica, where I'm kind of looking at those businesses in Ottawa and saying, no, you're not personally targeted, but you have been geographically targeted?
Yeah, it is a little trickier because the existing cases in Canada have all been cases involving some kind of, assault or personal violence. So that's much more clearly targeted than a business kind of loss. But it's certainly not not out of the realm of possible.
Does the declaration, I guess, over the weekend of a state of emergency, does it change the legal aspects of this? Because we know everything changes the legal aspects of things, right?
Yeah, so I'm not an expert in states of emergency. I'm more of a civil lawyer, but I would think, to the extent that that's given police more power to enforce the law and to enforce sanctions, it seems like, reasonable police services would take advantage of those powers. And so when we're kind of looking at the standard that we expect of police, I would say now that we have a declaration of emergency, we're expecting a higher standard of police enforcement than perhaps we did initially when maybe they were kind of taken by surprise.
Given what has happened or not happened in Ottawa over the last couple of weeks, I'm assuming those residents of the area that have been most affected would have other options, like perhaps there's something on the table that you can't go after the police, but you can go after the city for what they may or may not have done.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I think the longer this goes on, the larger the number of potential defendants I think we're going to have. I think there seems to be some, at the very least, kind of careless conduct by some city officials or provincial officials even. Maybe not rising to the level of abuse of power, but I think it seems like we have more and more people who, more and more public officials who are not necessarily living up to the standards we would expect. And I think you'd have more and more potential defendants by the citizens of downtown Ottawa.
Perhaps not an abuse of power, but a non-use of power would maybe be more the basis of this, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And in Canadian law, if you have a statutory obligation to do something, and you fail to do that, that's unlawful as well, right? It's just as unlawful as a kind of affirmative breach of an obligation. This is a failure to perform an obligation, and that can be the subject of a abuse of power or negligence lawsuit as well.
And do we have case law on that, Erica, where people have actually sued cities, et cetera, in this kind of a situation? The only one that really pops into my mind right away is like the G8 protests in Toronto a few years ago, perhaps some of the BLM protests that happened over the past year, so that there would be some space for residents to at the very least. We've seen cases that have happened like that.
So I'm not aware of kind of civil lawsuits that have arisen from the businesses in that respect. There were some lawsuits with the G8, coming out of people who were imprisoned at least partially for a little while by police. But it seems to me, when we've got actions that are pretty clearly predictable and are going to lead to this kind of harm, I think we certainly have an arguable case.
It's going to be a busy time for lawyers over the next couple of years, isn't it?
I think so. I think, there's going to be a lot to unpack over the next little while about police and government powers and kind of overlapping jurisdictions between municipalities and the province and the federal government as well. So certainly a busy time for lawyers, yes.
Constitutions and rights and responsibilities and all the stuff that we really didn't seem to have much of a chance to talk about over the past 2 years.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, and just rule of law, I think, kind of issues as well, right? If we have laws and no one is either obeying them or enforcing them, that it does bring into question our whether we have a rule of law in Canada or not.
It does make me wonder if the last 2 years and all of those little pockets of things that have happened over that time become a very defining moment for us.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think, as I said, I think we're going to be feeling the effects of this, the implications of this for a long time, not just in Canada, I think around the world too.
Thankfully, the legal system works quickly. So,
yeah, that's funny.
Erica, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Erica Chamberlain is a Western law professor at the University. I always want to call it the University of Western Ontario, even though I don't call it that anymore. She is professor and dean of the Faculty of Law at Western University. And when you think about, and regardless of how you feel about protests, etc., things like that, if you're actually living in that area, do you expect a certain standard of care from your police force, certainly a certain standard of action? And if you don't get that, do you feel inclined to say, let's get us a lawyer? Because we expect better than that, because much of the law is around expectations. And, you know, perhaps a week wouldn't be unreasonable, but perhaps 2 weeks, as we stretch into 3 weeks, becomes a bit of an issue. I think there is room there, maybe not against police, but certainly against municipalities. I could see some level of responsibility being held to say, look, you are supposed to be in charge of this, yet nothing happened. Star 570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
I would think, you know, to the extent that that's given police more power to enforce the law and to enforce sanctions, it seems like reasonable police services would take advantage of those powers. And so when we're looking at the standard that we expect of police, I would say now that we have a declaration of emergency, we're expecting a higher standard of police enforcement than perhaps we did initially when maybe they were kind of taken by surprise.
Erica Chamberlain, Dean of Law at Western University, writing in The Conversation, asking the open-ended question, can police be sued for their lack of action at some of these protests, in particular the one in Ottawa? We go to the phones. Mario, is it just Mario or is it Super Mario?
Yeah, I get that a lot. Thank you so much.
I didn't say any of these jokes were new.
I just said something funny because I caught in that interview you had, which is quite neat. And obviously a lot of fair grievances from people in Ottawa. If it was locally here, I think most people would be irritated. And I got kind of curious this weekend, and the equivalent of, let's say, the Kitchener Record in Ottawa, the Ottawa Citizen, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I was just curious, okay, what's the situation of policing in Ottawa? And I decided, let's look pre this event. And I guess as of, I think it was July or September of this past year, so relatively recent, there's a big piece in the Ottawa Citizen saying how of the major cities in Canada, Ottawa has the second smallest police force per person. So there's less officers per person in that city than most major cities in Canada. They're very low on the number of police. And there was an article around about the whole defund the police and how we don't need that many officers, yada, 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 with everything else going on. And I do think in terms of assigning blame, there's a lot of blame that can get assigned around. But a lot of times, you know, the fault falls on us, on who we vote for and the outcomes we get. It's kind of interesting when you talk about lawsuits to the government. We appoint politicians to reduce police forces, and then they do our wishes, and then we have a crisis. And I would think of the nation's capital. If there was one city that could justify having a bit more security and more police, I honestly was shocked. I thought Ottawa would be first on the list. I'm actually really surprised that a city like Ottawa, with all the events they have, you know, the national, not only parliament, but the Supreme Court and other things they have, that they really have such a small force. And even if you talk about enforcing, and I'm not against it, but if you look out in BC in the past where we've had protests, the biggest complaint from those police departments is they arrest 100,000 people, which is quite a lot of people. They have nowhere to house them temporarily in a large volume, so a lot of it's a revolving door, and a lot of blockades they've seen in the past, those people just get out in their cars and go back, and it's the same people they're arresting over and over again. And it's I think it's an easy complaint, a difficult fix. I think that's why obviously the emergency powers are needed, but I do find the finger pointing I don't know. I find when you point at the government, a lot of times the end finger is pointed back at the people for who you pick.
Yeah, and Mario, interesting. When you think of, now, I want to think about the Ottawa Police Force this way because it is Ottawa, and obviously there are parts of that city and its structures that are the responsibility of the RCMP.
Yeah.
Maybe that provides some level of explanation as to why their per capita number of police officers might be so low based just on the Ottawa Police Department.
Yeah, and it could make a lot of sense where we don't need many police because every major event, because it's Parliament, it's the RCMP's job, therefore we can defer on them. But then the ultimate question shouldn't be on the Ottawa Police. It should be RCMP, what are you doing? They have a big force, obviously. But that then is the privy of the federal government, I believe, right? So it's one of those things where I think a lot of people are complaining, but I don't think anyone wants to be the one that pulls the trigger and says, round up a bunch of protesters, because it rarely turns out to be nice. I lived in Toronto for the G8. I remember that. I lived downtown. It was a funny experience, and thankfully I just decided to stay at home and watch from my balcony what was going on.
Yeah, Mario, you're right. Nobody wants to be the person to say, okay, now's the moment that we move in. Everybody, I think, is trying to avoid that. You saw it on the weekend, which I thought was quite remarkable, with that kind of, well, it was a cooperative force. It wasn't just Windsor Police. There were other police forces there. And just very calmly, very quietly, moving things along, it was an interesting look at the way things can be done and hopefully, a lesson for other things down the road. Like I say, I fully support the right of people to protest. I do. And as long as you are peaceful about it and as long as you are decent about it, we've seen things that have happened in the previous couple of weeks on some protests. We have seen them even in some of the counter protests. I've often said, I understand where your frustration comes. I understand when that maybe you think flying certain flags or saying certain things is worthwhile. I just don't think it adds a whole lot to your argument. Because in this day and age, people are always trying to cut the legs out from under you. You know, you did this, but oh, that's happening all the time. So if you want to make a point, don't give people the opportunity to take your points away. That's kind of really, really, really important in this day and age because it's not the same as it was 30 years ago where there really were only a handful of places that you could see information. Now you can see information everywhere. It is supposed to be easier to communicate than ever before. It's not. But it's also easier to tear apart that communication, and we see it all the time. Now, I think what's going to happen over the next few months is going to be very, very interesting. Probably the next few months and next few years. As the fallout from all of these singular events, you know, whether it started off with lockdowns or vaccine passports and we moved into protests and occupations, it becomes very interesting to see how this shakes out legally. And it will shake out legally. Things will go through the court system, up into the Supreme Court, decisions will be made. We know that we've had those charter challenges. It takes time to canoe our way through the Canadian justice system, legal system, if you will. So we will see where most of that goes, but it's going to be fascinating to see if it reshapes some of the things that we've come to believe in over the years. Terry, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Brian, once again. Hey, listen, I was actually kind of surprised that there was no pushback from those protesters in Windsor. I mean, you think, you know, they sabotaged or occupied that area for a week and they put up no fight whatsoever. Like, you'd think some of them people would be willing to die for their cause. Like, it's pretty, like there was no fight, no pushback, no defense. The cops just went in there and basically grabbed them, pushed them out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Right? I'm glad there wasn't the pushback because then things get stupid and things get ugly.
For sure. Yeah, I'm glad it ended like that. But what I'm saying is I was just surprised that there was no resistance. I thought if you're going to fight for your cause, man, you better be prepared to, like, what a pushover. So if I was the federal government right now, I would do the same thing in Ottawa. They're just going to fold their tents and pack up without any resistance. Like, I'm willing to bet it's probably going to be the same thing. I don't know why they've waited. Like, this is the third week up there. So if they take a lesson from what happened in Windsor on the weekend, they should have, it should be a piece of cake for them to push those protesters out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, since I have you here, I'm glad to see that there's some or some protesters are going out there and fighting against the protesters, the anti-protesters. I'm glad to see that because, you know, not everybody is. And the thing that really upsets me about this is that they're saying this is a trucker's convoy. No, a lot of these people are just bunch of rubes and pickup trucks that are there, you know, in the guise of truckers. That's sad to see because I'm sure the vast majority of truckers don't give a crap about this. You know, they're just out there trying to do their job as best as they can, and then you get these few people that are out there, you know, using the name of other people to push their cause. So I'm just glad that it ended peacefully and that there was no pushback. I was expecting the worst, but glad it worked out well.
All right, thanks, Terry. I appreciate the call. It's not a trucker's convoy in terms of everybody's there who's a trucker, but we're identifying it that way because, hey, it's easier for us. I don't want to call people rubes and things like that. Look, if I have 100 people who are taking part in that protest, just from what I've been able to figure out, there's about probably 50 of them who are just determined to get rid of Justin Trudeau by any means necessary. And there's a fair anti-Trudeau sentiment running through those protests. I think we all know that. There are others who perhaps are just tired and there's safety in numbers. We feel better when we're in a group, so you join up and you accept it. I don't say for a minute that every one of my sample of 100 people is tremendously extreme over here. They're not also not all in the middle. We cannot place a blanket on people like that. And like I say, I don't want to call anybody names in any of those situations. There are some who are there because they believe quite stridently that this is what they need to do to get their, quote, freedoms back. And I get that. But, you know, 2 weeks into it, Terry, I understand what you're saying, but the longer that you have an entrenched position, the less likely you are to give it up. I think in this particular case, and that certainly helped at the Ambassador Bridge closure, and I think there was far less support for the Ambassador Bridge blockade than there was for whatever is happening in downtown Ottawa. So that made it, I think, a little bit easier. And I will say, it was a pretty good display of how you deal with that kind of thing without it getting out of control. And I'm thankful that it didn't get out of control, because this is already bothersome enough to see in the country without adding that bit of stuff to it. On the other side, we'll tell you some things, then we'll talk to one of my favorite guests, who is Ari Goldkind, for really no reason whatsoever. But you'll get it. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Wow, you'd think that was almost planned. Of course, I've been promising this big announcement for a while. I had to move it already once today. I was going to do it originally at 12:30. And then Brittany, because she's wonderful, reminded me she'd already booked a guest for 12:30. So you don't want to do announcements, big radio station announcements, when you've already got a guest. So we opted not to do that. Well, really, I don't have any other way to say this. Like I say everything else on this show, with a little bit of music.
So long, farewell. Leader saying good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
So long. I could wait all the way till the end until Christopher Plummer doesn't sing. You think lip syncing is bad? That's not even Christopher Plummer singing in this movie. Yes, as a matter of fact, this is it. This is the fifth last Kitchener Today with Brian Burke. I know, people here know already, and just because you got to keep everything kind of in the family, let's just say that it was a value proposition, that we had a disagreement over how much value I bring to the station, so time for me to move on. That's okay. It's okay. It's their litter box. They get to decide which cat does their business in it, and I'm okay with that. That's fine, so we're going to go move on. We're going to go
it's
do some other
money,
things.
And I need it now!
Look, this has happened to me before. This is not quite the same. And one of the things that bothered me when that happened to me the last time was I didn't get a chance to finish off the way that I wanted to. And that is, you know, if you trust me to go on the air for 4 years, or in that case, 31 and a half years, you should probably give me a little bit of rope at the end. And they've been good about that here. It's been pretty good. I said that's what I'd wanted. And they said, look, as long as you don't take things out of context. And I, well, that doesn't seem like a way to do a talk show. I take things out of context all the time. That's what I do. So this is the fifth last show. And then we get to Friday. It's Kitchener Today with Brian Burke. We will have our 2 to 3 p.m. open phones hour. And I thought, well, what do I want to do? I thought I could go the lazy man's route and just play a whole bunch of best of interviews and put my feet up for the week. That would be fun. But no, not going to do that. We will have some conversations this week with people for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Just simply because I enjoy them as a guest. We're going to have one of those in a few minutes. That is Ari Goldkind. We have no topic to talk about, but that has never stopped Ari in the past. If you've listened to Ari, you know what it's like. And we'll do a few of those things, probably get Sylvain Charlebois to talk about nothing at all, because Sylvain seems like a really nice guy. I've never met any of these people. So that's one of the things I think I'll be doing down the road.
You're going to get Sylvain on as one of your farewell interviews? Good. I like him a lot.
I like Sylvain. We're going to have Mike Zenker on from the Hope Fellowship Church, because if I am ever going to go to a come to Jesus moment, I'm probably going to go with Mike Zenker, because he's my favorite pastor of all time. Not that I have a tremendous list of pastors in my contacts, let's be honest. But given some of the others I've had on, Mike is certainly my favorite pastor of all time. So I am sorry for those of you who are upset about that. But you know what? You rent your skills. And if the rental is too much, then you move on and you rent your skills somewhere else, which is what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be out of work because I don't feel like stopping working. I want to just continue on. And so for the rest of the week, fingers crossed, I'll be able to be here. We'll say goodbye. We'll have some fun. All that. Does that sound good? Sounds good to me. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Social media is a wonderful thing. Make a little tiny announcement. Next thing you know, people are sending you notes. I want to be clear here, and it's probably the reason I'm being allowed to hang around all week, is I am not going to another radio station. Close the door. Well, leave it open just a little bit in case somebody decides that they do have a spot for me. But I am heading off to do some things. You will probably hear from me because from time to time I'm going to be that organization's media spokesperson. So moving off into an area that I'm actually really, really interested in. And thank you for all the notes. You can call all week and tell me how much you love me, because I am that desperate for attention, which is why I would call Ari Goldkind. Ari Goldkind has joined us this afternoon. Ari, how are you?
Great to be on with you. And no, we're going to already start off disagreeing. I know it's a big day for you, but social media is a terrible thing. But let's continue.
I know the way you feel about that, Ari. And as we sent in our pitch, which was the most unusual talk show pitch ever, I just want you to come on and talk about stuff because it's my last week and I enjoy talking to you.
I thought it was so nice. I have to tell you, just so your listeners know, it was genuine. I really felt that was such a nice thing that you said to me, and people should know, you know, Brian has a lot of people to choose from, and the fact that he said that to me and publicly, it means a lot, because I try and do my best to make you and your listeners happy when we do this.
No kidding. Let's just do this for a little bit, Ari. 2 years now that with the provincial government's announcement seems to be coming to some kind of a painful end. 2 years into this, do you look at this way differently than you did at the beginning?
I don't. I actually think that really what we have here is that the political science has changed, not the actual science. I think something that Jon Stewart said the other day, and I've been sort of disappointed at Jon Stewart because he's made himself sort of irrelevant, and I thought he should be one of the most relevant people of our time. He said something the other day that really encapsulated in a much more clever Jon Stewart way what I have always felt throughout this, which is, the people who are deciding what misinformation is and able to label it and get other people censored and canceled and deplatformed and demonetized, these are people that, in my view, have very perniciously not been concerned with the average, ordinary, hardworking, and let me emphasize this, Brian, tax-paying Canadian, okay? And there has been a real separation between the elites of this country, and I include myself in a way that I've been able to work from Zoom. So full disclosure, I'm not an Amazon delivery person. I'm not a busboy. I'm not a waitress. I'm not in the economy where I have to get up and go to work, literally. So I want to personalize this for a moment. The way so many hardworking Canadians who are working for minimum wage or just over, and I include the truckers in that, by the way. So there has been a real separation to me here about what is actual science, what's in the best interest of this country. And in my view, Brian, the political science has changed in the last month or two, not the actual science. We've learned so much about vaccination and what we were told versus what we were promised and what ended up to be true. We were told that people who are skeptical about mandates or passports are people who are anti-vaccine, which is so ludicrous if you look at their personal medical reports and how many vaccines they have in their body. And the ultimate chutzpah, which I'm sure, Brian, let's make this topical, the ultimate chutzpah is look at what you saw last night at the Super Bowl, which is you have L.A. County where every kid and every service person has to be dressed like Hannibal Lecter. But look at the audience in the stadium and all of the celebrities and politicians who will tell you that their masks were off because they're holding their breath. So the bottom line is, do I think people should have choice? Sure. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to socially distance, social distance. But to me, the number one story of our time, Brian, and I know it's boring, so I'll stop here, but the number one story of what's been done in the last 2 years to Canadians is to divide them even worse. And the number one issue that I think hasn't even begun to rear its toll and its ugly head is inflation. And all of it's being done not because of the actual science, but because of the political science.
Well, and Aria, I think that's the really the most important realization to come out of this. And despite all the talk about we're all in this together, we had different togethers. Look, I never missed a day of work because of COVID. I never had a moment where, oh, no, you can't do anything. You're going to have to go on to serve, that kind of thing. Never happened to me.
Yep.
Never happened to you. Yep. But there's a lot of people who suffered, which I have this great fear, Ari, as we come out of this, that the relief is so palpable that we're going to forget about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, which is, look, when the next variant comes, which we expect it will, what will we do? Will we start having honest conversations, Brian? And perhaps this would be more focused when I do, you know, U.S. type of media, is are we actually going to have a conversation about comorbidities? Are we actually going to have a conversation about obesity? Are we actually going to have a conversation that the people who tend to die from COVID aren't you and me or your healthy listeners? They're people who are drinking 17 Coca-Colas a day and going to McDonald's and Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Are we going to close an economy? And by the way, forget just the economy, all the real estate damage that's been done throughout this. I mean, you have commercial sectors in cities that have been hollowed out. And if I'm a worker who has a choice to work from home or go back, I don't know why I want to go back and be sitting in a cubicle surrounded by people I don't really like. But all of this was done, again, to exercise control. And look, and I say this as a person who took my vaccines because I wanted to, first of all, not die. I wanted to not be hospitalized. And I wanted to participate in society and not be a second-class citizen. And when you do what the Prime Minister did 2 weeks ago, which I thought was the greatest misstep in the history of Canada, which is to tell people who don't agree with mandates and passports that their views are fringe and unacceptable. Even if you're pro-passports, pro-endless masking, endless mandates, to have the Prime Minister of this country, Prime Minister Silver Spoon, Prime Minister born with a Silver Spoon last name, literally say that about a minority of people, even when they're a minority, who, Brian, no matter what your politics are, I don't think there's a listener to you listening right now that this isn't a Prime Minister who, since 2015, with 30% of the popular vote, has been obsessed with minorities. He'll never choose a majority over a minority ever until COVID. So for him to say what he did about millions of Canadians and call their views unacceptable or fringe or racist because they just don't think the country is going in the right direction, let alone inflation, which I still think is so important but too boring for me to make sexy. I just thought from the leader, this is a leader who has divided the country far more than the people he dares criticize and call a whole bunch of nasty names.
I'm walking away, so I get to wash my hands of all this COVID stuff. Wash your hands, of course.
Yeah.
You know, by the end of the week. So I'm thinking lately, Ari, I'm putting my philosopher's hat on and going, you know, is this a critical turning point for this country, and will we take that curve?
Well, that's a good question. And the question is always, and you know this from U.S. polling, Brian, because it's a question that most of your listeners will be familiar with, is the country going in a better direction than what it was before? Are you in a better position this year than you were last? And I think that's really a question broken down by elite or the haves and the have-nots. And when the have-nots have a feeling that they cannot catch up, that they're getting a raw deal, and again, remember, Brian, I use the term hardworking taxpayer, okay? This is a country now full of laundered money. This is a country that has been obsessed with foreign investment. Look at the housing prices in your community and mine. Any honest trader will tell you this is a function of demand caused by immigration. If you have a nurse, a teacher, an engineer who can no longer afford to buy a home in the city that they live in, who and what is Canada for? So do I think we're going to become even more divided under the regime that we're on under with dear leader who doesn't respect the fact that maybe a lot of Canadians just don't agree with him? This is the knock that President Bad Orange Man took for 4 years, sort of that George Bush, if you're not with me, you're against me. I thought Canada was supposed to be a place where, you know, there's a diversity of views, but you don't shove them down somebody else's throat. And here's the point. None of this, and look, you can look up the Johns Hopkins studies yourself. You can see all the science, the actual science that we're told, oh, you know, there's only one view of science. You know, Brian, that science changes, as John Stewart, I alluded to a moment ago. You know, the sand shift in what's misinformation and what we learn in science. But there's been an attempt to divide Canadians here that to me is just so off the chart, so unnecessary. Even the theater, Brian, of getting on a plane and a family of four who wants to take their kids to Disney World are spending $300 or $400 or $500 on the most stupid of COVID tests that you throw out, the recycling, the this. The whole thing has been handled so poorly. And to me, Brian, and look, I can never prove I'm right. It's just my views. This has all been an exercise in control. It's not been an exercise, by and large, particularly in the last 6 months to a year, of public health. Maybe in the first 6 months, nobody knew what was going on, so the abundance of caution answer has some fit. But this is really, really about control. I don't think it's about minimizing the morbidity of people who are 65 and over, or people who really, really did need to be treated differently than many of your audience's kids who are 5 and 6 years old, who haven't looked at another child's face in a year, which is probably the most important degradation of a child's ability to learn, form emotional attachments that I could ever dream up.
Ari, always a pleasure to have you.
Brian, I wish you the best. I don't know where you're going, but I hope it's greener pastures. I heard a hint of it, but I think your audience and I think broadcasting will miss you for whatever that's worth.
I'm going to be in Toronto, so we'll grab a beverage from time to time.
Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Ari. Always appreciate it. Ari Goldkind, lawyer, speaker. What more do you need? Honey?
Hey.
Honey?
I'm here.
I'm here. I'm sorry. That's the way I usually say that word.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, I think this whole thing would have been fixed, like the vaccine thing would have been fixed in about a week at the beginning when everybody was supposed to get vaccinated. How? And it would have cost the government so much less money. If the government has offered $1,000 per person, once you get vaccinated, you get that $1,000. Everybody would have been running to get vaccinated. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks, honey. I'm not sure. We had a babysitter. Maybe that's the same one. When we were living in Windsor, we had a babysitter named Honey, because those are the only two people I've ever run into named Honey. Maybe it's the same person. Maybe she moved up here from Windsor. I've never been in favor of that incentive to get vaccinated. The $1,000, you know, get into the lottery, you can win this, you know, get a cookie. I've never been a fan of that because I think you get vaccinated because you think it's the right thing for you to do. So I could never go with the incentive thing. What I am most focused on now is, I always believe, and what I used to teach my occasional students in broadcasting and journalism school, was the questions we always need to answer revolve around what happens next. What happened yesterday isn't nearly as important as what happens next. So I want to find out what happens next. Do we go back to the way we were before? Because if you listen to Ari and he talks about how we have already been divided along socioeconomic lines, it doesn't seem like the best place to go back to. Maybe that's just me. Manny, go ahead.
Ari came with the fire today.
Ari always comes with the fire, Manny. That's why we had him on.
It's music to my ears, obviously.
I know.
I think that where he wants to take the conversation now is it's about time. You know, and I think that, you know, putting all of our differences aside, it's time to put our differences aside. It's time to cross the aisle. It's time to talk about it. There's been pain. There's been loss in the vast, you know, distance of the divide between people, whether they be a fringe minority or the majority, whatever it may be. It's time to talk. So I really appreciate that point of view. And I really hope that there's some key stuff that he said there that I hope that we continue to take forward and talk more about.
Manny, thanks for the call. As always, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, Brian, good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, go ahead.
I just have to say, when I really liked what that guy was saying, and, you know, yeah, he sounds like he's on my side, but I found the most profound thing that I heard him say is that every turn, this prime minister has stood and chose the minority in every turn, but in this turn, he hasn't. And that, for me, I called in earlier about deductive reasoning and say, what is this really about? And I'm not saying I have the answers. And, you know, he was labeled from a very, very intelligent, clinical person to be a teenage actor. And I don't mean the drama type kind. And I think that statement of every time he turned around, sorry, I'm running on and on and repeating myself, he chose minorities for everything. But when it comes to this, he doesn't. And that tells you everything.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. I'm not sure that it tells you everything. It shows us something. I think what we are seeing here, I truly believe that this will be the case. There was an election back in September. Justin Trudeau was elected as prime minister. The system's crap, and that's what happens when you have three or four parties that are in the middle of the mix. You get elected with 32% of the vote or whatever it is. That is our system, so we must respect that. But I know that, look, I'm leaving the airwaves, but sometime prior to the next federal election, I'm betting that shiny new dollar that I often warn you about betting, that it ain't going to be Justin Trudeau who's going to be running. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Should have known that would happen. I'm falling incredibly behind today. I'm just having, well, I've created one of those days. Let's put it that way. Yes, if you're just tuning in, this is the fifth last show. You probably want to record all of them and play them for your great-grandchildren, I would think. this is my last week here. It isn't my decision. We've had a disagreement about the wonderful things that this does. And we shall both treat each other like adults and move on. I have no complaint about the treatment I've received here. As I've said so many times, no one has ever told me what to put on the air. And this, so I'm going to put some of my favorite guests on the air. And some of them, like Ari Goldkind, we don't really have a reason to talk to, except I like to talk to Ari Goldkind. And some of them we have an actual reason to talk to. Doris Greenspun is the CEO of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. And Doris also fits in my thin little book of favorite guests of all time. Hi, Doris.
Oh, Brian, you warm my heart. And surely enough, we all need a warm heart these days. But I am taping yours. I'm showing it to my kids and grandkids, you bet. I mean, you are one of my favorite persons to speak with, Brian, and I want to, first of all, thank you so much for all your service to the public, not only to all of your guests, but to the public, for bringing tough issues, for bringing people that are outspoken, and for the respect that you give to all of us. We wish you a wonderful, wonderful next journey. Please keep in touch. I asked Paul, maybe he's coming to RNAO. Wouldn't that be good?
Well, I think I saw a job opening there, Doris. But
wishes.
I think I saw a job opening there, but I'm not sure that I remembered to apply to it. So, you know, keep me in mind. Doris, it's always great to have you on. But we had these announcements from the Premier today. And I don't know, does that feel for you as kind of leader of the registered nurses that maybe better times ahead?
Well, here is I think that in March and April, there will be better times ahead anyways because of the weather, and we have said it all along. However, to take the passports, I think, is an error because it really puts the onus on businesses and they cannot do it. You know, unless it's mandatory, they cannot. And it also, passports encourage people to get vaccinated. So, you know, vaccination is still our best tool to fight this pandemic. And I think masks, which I'm glad the Premier said they're staying, and so did Dr. Moore, but passports should also have stayed until we can schedule people for the surgeries and procedures. Brian, they have been waiting for over 2 years. The system is still serving mainly, I mean, you see how many people are still in the hospitals and in ICUs. So we need to stabilize the health system for the people that have been patiently and anxiously waiting for a long time for their procedures and surgeries. I'm talking, these are people with cancers. These are people with heart conditions. These are people, you know, non-urgent is not non-urgent. No one goes to a hospital instead of going to a mall.
So, Doris, as we kind of head into this uncertain future, we've heard so much talk about, you know, rebuilding the healthcare system, strengthening the healthcare system. How much confidence do you have that over the next few months, as we head into an election, we might see some actual details of that?
Well, I think that we will see a good go at it in long-term care. I absolutely think. I think with Rod Phillips, we got into a good path. I'm not going to speak about his predecessor because that was not a good time for Ontario, Dr. Fullerton or MPP Fullerton. But Rod Phillips put us in a good path. And I think Minister Calandra, I have had conversations with him, has good intentions. Let's make sure that their team, they have a fantastic deputy minister. Let's make sure that we at least have a silver lining of this tragedy of nursing homes into better future for nursing, for people that live in nursing homes. How much better it will be, we still need to push forward big time. But I think we will see at least a beginning of a silver lining there. As for rebuilding home care, that needs a complete rebuild. It was decimated, as you know, Brian, with the pandemic. First of all, there were no surgeries, and also now. So, you know, the business of nursing homes, quote-unquote business, the services, right, it got really diminished. And second, many nurses went from home care to public health and other sectors simply because they were much better paid. And then comes the hospitals, and as you know, the kind of gesture, I would call it, I don't want to say tokenism, but gesture, that the Premier did last week of $5,000 bonus, I mean, if you ask Karens, they're laughing, right? It's nothing. It's nothing, because it's less than what PSWs got per hour, right? So the Premier still needs to give a hard look at what he will give to nursing, because you need nurses for not only COVID patients, but all those surgeries and procedures that we just spoke about.
What do you need to see, Doris, to that tells you that, you know what, we are we are heading in the right direction. Because let's not just look at Doug Ford. Let's look at previous governments as well, which haven't been particularly kind to the profession from time to time. So what do you need to see?
Well, I need to see a walk the talk, respect to the heroes. When you tell me that we are giving you, after fights of months and months and months of repeal Bill 124, that you are giving us $5,000 bonus, and I don't know when it's coming and if it's for ARENs, RPNs, and everybody, that's insufficient. That's not. That's a gesture. That's a. That's the first, the salad in the dinner. We need the dinner now. We need full respect for nurses, and it needs to be both monetarily, it needs to be less workload so they can do the type of work that they're prepared and want to do and not drive through nursing, and also to bring newcomers. We have 20,000 internationally educated nurses. In fact, Brian, this afternoon at 2, we have a conversation. I would welcome you and other reporters to come. 4 internationally educated nurses are telling their stories of wanting to be in the workplace and instead being held hostage to processes. And 20,000 of them is way too many that should be at the bedside or at the street side or at the home care side in all the places nurses work.
What's holding them back from being part of our system, Doris? Well, is there one particular thing?
The process is painful and expensive. Painful. It takes, some of them have been, you know, up to any average between 3 years, 4 years, 5 years waiting for all the process. Then sometimes is the papers in terms of federal government, but that's the minority. For example, if you come as a caregiver, you cannot work as a nurse, even if you dealt with your registration with the College of Nurses of Ontario. So that needs to be fast-tracked. All those nurses that need the papers from immigration on change of status so they can work, that needs to change. And I'm working with the Prime Minister Office and the Minister of Immigration on that, and it's moving along. But the College of Nurses of Ontario needs to fast-track these people, and we have put proposals, including in the budget, to the government of how to go about doing that. For example, Brian, bringing all the retired nurses as mentors for the students, mentors for the new graduates, and mentors for the, you know, internationally educated nurses. For any new nurse in the system, the retired nurses could serve as mentors, and that will add resources to the system instead of decrease the resources, right? And that will bring a lot of people into the workplace in a meaningful way.
Doris, even at my advanced age, I have never spent a night in the hospital. I've been very lucky that way, right? Really. But my daughter is a nurse, and she tells me that it is at the same time just a remarkably exhilarating profession and frustrating one at the same time. Thank you for holding people's feet to the fire, Doris.
Well, you know what, Brian? It's the best profession. If I needed to choose all over again, and I'm sure your daughter will say the same, I would choose all over again. But we deserve the respect in all the ways I mentioned to you from the governments and employers, and we need it now so we can serve the public in the way they deserve.
Same warning to you, Doris. I'm going to be spending a little bit of time in Toronto. I might look you up.
Fantastic. Excellent. And keep being, you know, outside of the hospital, please. Keep in good health and keep enjoying the journey, and best regards to your daughter, and thank you for her work.
Doris Grinspan is the head of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario, one of our favorite guests, because she doesn't really hold back. She still thinks maybe we should be hanging on to passports a little bit longer. I know there are certainly people out there who feel that way, and I respect that. But I think as we look around, how many times on this show have we talked about losing the room? A room's been lost. Is that a good thing? I don't know. I know the protests will want to take credit. That's fine. Take it if you want. I want to, if I'm riding off into the sunset, I want to look at the future. I don't want to look behind us. I hope we learn from the past. And I hope that we'll go down the road where we will see a better healthcare system. I still will maintain as I go through this that if somebody really, really, really wanted to get elected in this province, the best way to do it would be to make this commitment. We are going to do whatever we have to do to clear the backlog of surgeries that has been created over the past couple of years. We're going to clear that backlog as quickly as possible. That means we have to bring in more nurses, more doctors, more operating rooms. We have to expand the system, even if it's a temporary expansion, so that people can get the operations that they've been waiting for. I think that kind of policy clearly laid out, here's how much it's going to cost, would get you an awful lot of support. Because there's a lot of people who are impacted by that. I had a couple of chunks taken off me, but that was just inside a doctor's office, so I didn't have to worry about going inside a hospital for surgery. Plus, they tightened some things up. I look far more muscular than I used to. But I've also got people in my family who've had their surgeries put off over the last couple of weeks. I think any party that went into this saying, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it, I know, novel idea, buzzwords and attacking is so much more fun, but this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to achieve it, this is how we are going to eliminate the backlog of surgeries in this province so you don't have to wait anymore 6, 8, 10 months. Maybe we can pare that down to 2 months. You do that, you win the election. That simple. Free advice. You're going to have to start paying me for this stuff eventually. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Let's make sure that we at least have a silver lining of this tragedy of nursing homes into better future for nursing, for people that live in nursing homes. How much better it will be, we still need to push forward big time. But I think we will see at least a beginning of a silver lining there.
Doris Grinspun of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario joins us from time to time to talk registered nurses issues. And today, talking about the announcement by the Ford government that some restrictions will end a little earlier than had originally planned. People have been very nice lately. Somebody sent me a note on Twitter. You can't leave. You were just getting good. I had you at an 8. An 8 out of 10, I guess that means. Yep. Sunset right over there. Friday is the last show. Get your coupons while you can. Grant, go ahead.
Brian, we're going to miss you. You're the icon of Kitchener because of you being on top of that billboard for years. We're going to miss you.
Yeah, that's okay. You'll find somebody new to love, Grant. That's all right.
This is a bad decision on Doug Ford, and he doesn't know how to put his foot down. The only reason why he did this to remove the mandate in March for this.
I get it, Grant, but it has to happen sooner or later, don't you think?
No. We want people to be safe. I'm lucky I've got a strong immune system. Otherwise, I would not go into any place that there are mixed people without being shot, without having shots. And another interesting question I'd like to know from you, does this mean the truckers don't have to show a passport when they go across the border?
Well, we'll get answers to those questions, Grant. Look, I get it. Some people are going to be way more concerned about the end of this than others. I completely and utterly understand that. But, Grant, I'm right on that one. It has to end eventually. It really does. This should be fun. Andrew, go ahead.
Thanks for breaking everybody's heart on Valentine's.
That's your fault.
My fault?
Yeah.
Listen, you are one of, like, the rarest talk show hosts that I love to hate.
I feel so good.
No, but you know why? Because I like to listen to you because you're a common sense guy, but you're still stick up for what you believe in, and you drum to your own beat. Like, but all the other people out there they're corporate. If they don't want to lose their job, they have to believe in corporate. And I think you're one of those people that you don't want to fall corporate. You want to follow your own thing, which I'm happy for you. But it's sad. I'm really sad. You're gone, and probably. I only have one other person I can listen to that makes common sense on the radio. I'm sorry to see you go, man.
That's all right, Andrew. But look, I've always appreciated your calls, and even though I hang up on you from time to time, it's a little bit of entertainment here and there. It's not a bad thing.
I will follow you wherever you go, and hopefully we can hear from you.
I will report you to the police if you do that.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. First off, I just want to say I'd like to get Ari's contact number or email. I want to take him out for a beer. I just love hearing that guy talk. I really do. Second off, what's this about you? You got a week left?
I don't even have a week. I have, at this point, four days and 1 hour left.
What gives?
You know what? We have had a disagreement about my value, so at that point I can either stay or go, and I have opted to go.
All right, you and me should open our own little podcast, something on the internet or something.
Everybody keeps telling me I should open a podcast. Problem with podcasts, Joe, is you have to be super famous to make any money.
Oh, dude, you and me would smash that out of the park. Like, in 5 minutes, it would take 5 minutes.
Well, it's still one of those things that we're talking about, but for the time being, I've had numerous people say, you should start a podcast. Well, it's not that I want to start a podcast on my own, my friends. I want to do it with somebody else and some other people. And some of those people may not be currently available to work with me in a podcast. So we'll just leave it that way. Manny, go ahead.
I'll work with you, bro.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even know, like when I called, I just called that not that long ago, but I didn't really catch on that you're actually leaving, and then I'm listening and your last day's Friday. What are you doing to me? You actually even, like, Andrew sounded human when he called in too. Like, what is going on here?
This is the magic that I provide.
Oh my God, Brian, I'm gonna miss the crap out of you, man.
That's okay.
What Andrew said is, like, how many people are left for me to listen to? Whether I agree with you or not, I just always appreciate the fact that you've got your own point of view, and I think that it comes from a good place, and I just, we are kind of a little bit devoid of that, you know? Like, I don't want to bash media or anything like that, but, you know, voices like yours are kind of fewer and further between now, so it's actually really refreshing, and I really enjoyed your show, and I enjoyed our banter back and forth a little bit, and the willingness to agree and disagree, and Yeah, I'm going to miss you, man.
Yeah, that's okay. We're going to be here through the end of the week, Manny, and then I'll just drive by your house and yell at you for no reason.
I know. You actually know where I live, so don't... Yeah, you know what? You threaten to call the cops on Andrew, I'm going to do the same thing to you, pal.
All right. We're going to all have fun together. Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks, Manny. I appreciate it. And again, for the people who want to read things between the lines, don't read between the lines. Just take what I say as I offer it to you, because that's the fair thing to say. And in this wonderful world, I will be honest, the last time this happened to me, I was really, really bitter and really, really angry. But I got over that very quickly and understand that decisions get made. I have responsibility for my half of that decision. They have responsibility for their half of the decision. Could there have been a different decision? Yes, there could. But there isn't. This is where we are. And I so deeply appreciate all the really nice things people say. It is kind of like, and I've often suggested this to my wife, that I'd like to fake my death and be able just to listen to the nice things people say about me. So this is kind of like that for me, which I realize is really, really weird. But I will also say this, that there are very few people who are in my position who get to do what I'm doing this week. I am going to continue to poke fun. So every day there's going to be a different goodbye song. Today, of course, it was from The Sound of Music. But every day, because Pauly well knows, there's the song about anything. And if I can find it, I'm going to play it on the radio. So we are going to continue to have a significant amount of fun. We're also going to continue to talk about some issues that are still important to me. And I will continue to put people who I enjoy having on the radio and having conversations with on the air, because one of the things you may not understand about the way I have done this from the very first day that I walked in here, I don't have any papers in front of me. I don't have a list of questions to ask. That's just never been the way I operated. It's always been based on the idea of, let's just have an interesting conversation. I'll hear what people will have to say, and then maybe I'll branch off from what they say into whatever question I feel like asking. And part of that is because got a significant amount of experience over the year. over the years interviewing people, so I can listen and then move into another direction. I don't need to have that list of questions in front of me. So part of it's that, and also it's just the way I like to do things. So while I've said we're going to have some of my favorite people on the air, I also have been rolling around in my head, who would I really, 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 really like to interview? And that's interesting, because there's one missing that would give me the clean sweep. And by that I mean, if I could get, because he hasn't been on my show, he's been on Farwell's show, if I could get the Prime Minister on my show, that would have allowed me to have interviewed every Prime Minister since Pierre Trudeau. Can't get the kid on the air, though. So, like, I'm not expecting to break any new ground, but we might have to send that request out there. Not that he's going to, but I kept thinking about that the last couple of days. Well, that'd be cool, because I haven't done that one yet, and that would give me the clean sweep from 1968 all the way up to here. That's a pretty cool idea. But, or maybe I'm just an enormous nerd, which is possible. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Keeping you informed today so you can be prepared for what comes tomorrow.
Welcome to Kitchener Today with your host, Brian Burke.
On City News 570.
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me, for me.
It is indeed a Valentine's Day. Of course, I send this song out to my wife because it's way cheaper than a card. And flowers. I bought her flowers unexpectedly about a week ago. So I'm probably covered for a good solid 6-7 months, I would think. That's what I've learned over the years. Gary Foster is a professor of philosophy at Wilfrid Laurier University. And Gary, you should be happy to hear this. You are the 8th philosopher that we have had on this show.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
When we started this show 4 years ago, we had no idea we would get one philosopher on. So for those people wondering, what do you do with the philosophy degree? You talk on the radio. That's what you do.
That's certainly one of the things you do, for sure.
Interesting article about love and dating and philosophy and all the other things that are out there, especially when it comes to today. Now, I am married. I'm not a fanatic about it, so I'm certainly willing to try some of these dating apps, but... So dating and shopping, not uncommon?
Well, I think I use that as a comparison. In today's online world, where we tend to, sort of find everything for our home and otherwise online, it seems that dating has sort of followed that trend where, people get to look at hundreds of profiles of other people before they... make their move, as it were, or contact another person.
And some people are really into online shopping, but others feel there's no replacement for the in-person kind. I guess that kind of works the same way in dating apps, right?
Yeah, I think that's quite right. I think that's a good way to put it. I think a lot of us, we miss, physical stores, especially during the lockdown and so on. Just as we miss getting together with our friends and getting together with other people or meeting people out in public. And I think there's a lot of things that, certainly online dating has its merits, but there's a lot of things that one misses, I think, simply dating in a sort of online format.
When I kind of think about it, Gary, I think, well, love does kind of have its roots in philosophy, doesn't it really?
Love has a long tradition in philosophy. The very word philosophy is love of wisdom. But if you go back to some of the ancient texts, not only in Western philosophy and Greek philosophy, but even Indian philosophy, but I'm thinking specifically of in Greek philosophy, the philosopher Plato wrote a great work on love called the Symposium, and it was basically... It was basically a dinner, a banquet with a bunch of philosophers sitting around giving speeches about the god Eros, the god of love. You even get a sort of precursor to the whole idea of romantic love given in a speech by the philosopher Aristophanes, who talks about these creatures that rebelled against the gods and were divided into two. and basically spent the rest of their life looking for their other half, looking for that half that would complete them and make them whole once again.
Gary, maybe this is outside of your wheelhouse, but like, is there actually something called love, and how do we define it?
Well, that's a good question, there's a lot of different conceptions of love, really. I mean, sometimes we try to think of love as one thing, but really I think there are different kinds of love. There's friendship, there's parental love, there's romantic love. People even have love for their favorite sports team or for their country and so on. But I think, especially on Valentine's Day, we tend to think of romantic love as being sort of the thing that becomes important on Valentine's Day, right? And finding that other person, whether you think of it in terms of, you know, that person who will complete you or that person that will make you better or that will challenge you, there's something about having another person, a special person in your life who, you grow with and learn from that is very appealing.
Well, and it's a quest for a lot of people, so take it back into the Iliad and the Odyssey, I guess, right? Does it fit into that quest area?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think love is a quest. And perhaps that's one of the things that sometimes, in our day of instant gratification or of maybe finding, and again, not knocking online dating. I mean, I think there's certainly a place for it. I met my own partner online. I think sometimes in a day when we want things to happen very quickly and we receive a lot of information online about a person very quickly, we forget that love is a quest, that love is this sort of, this searching and this trying to, you meet someone that we're mutually good for one another.
There's an awful lot of mystery there. You mentioned that you met your partner online. Like I bumped into mine at a high school. and you know, how do we make that decision that this is the one?
Yeah, and I think that's a really difficult question to answer, and it's probably inherently personal. But we all probably know of people who have met someone else, and you think, wow, they just they're made for one another, for lack of a better way of putting it. But we also know a lot of people have met people and gotten into relationships that haven't gone quite that way, right? I think it's a really difficult thing to answer. I think we do meet people, especially when we meet them in person. We tend to see things about them, come to discover things about them over time that make us answer that question for ourselves, that this person seems just right for me, whatever that means to you. But that somehow you click, or somehow you complement one another in an important way.
Oh, sweet mystery of love.
Indeed.
Gary, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Brian.
Gary Foster is a philosophy professor at Wilfrid Laurier University. You can read the article in the front page of the Waterloo Region Record today. It's often baffled me about how all of this comes about. Like, was it just a matter that we bumped into the right person in my latter years of high school? Was that it? Like, it's just, okay, now I look. Nice girl, very attractive. Kind of what I'm looking for there, right? But so how do you know? It's a mystery. How do you know that that's the one? And then 42 years later, you look at it and go, you're still here? Like, I thought she would have learned something by now. It's a lot of a mystery. And people now go through dating services where Gary says, there can be a tendency to be less connected there because you're just, swipe, 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 swipe. Obviously drawn to that look as opposed to anything else you could possibly like about them, because more than likely they like long walks on the beach, etc. All of that stuff that everybody apparently likes, but no one ever actually does. If there were as many people who actually liked long walks on the beach as it says in the dating profiles, you wouldn't be able to set foot on a beach anywhere. That simple. *570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Love has a long tradition in philosophy. The very word philosophy is love of wisdom. You even get a sort of precursor to the whole idea of romantic love, given in a speech by the philosopher Aristophanes, who talks about these creatures that rebelled against the gods and were divided into two and basically spent the rest of their life looking for their other half, looking for that half that would complete them and make them whole once again.
Oh my God, that's horrid. Nicely done, Pauly. It's one of the beautiful things about working with Pauly. I don't have to send notes and say, you should play this song, you should play that song. He just does it himself. And that, man, that is such a rare thing in this business. Anytime you can stop me from thinking is a good day. David.
Hey. Yeah, no, that's why I like you guys, eh? Like, you know, Pauly, you're great because you got the touch for all the music, you know, in the background. But, yeah, no, I want to do a quick shout out quick here first before I get into the point. But my wife is a nurse, and she and her colleagues and everybody are working really hard. So I just want to thank all of them for working as hard as they are. And she's an awesome lady for doing that. So as well, I did meet her on an app, like a dating app.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously it worked out. So I've been with her for about 7 years now.
7 years? That's nothing, David. I've owned couches for more than 7 years.
I know, yes. But still, like when you were saying that earlier, I was like, yeah, no, he's got me beat there. But but yeah, so there's a bunch of characters online with certain, you know, there's always that, right? But we kind of stuck out between, you know, the lines of other people and stuff. And we talked for about a month online. It was a different experience because I've never really tried it before. It was her first time trying it too, right? So we just kind of match made in heaven, I guess, right? But yeah, no, dating apps and that kind of stuff, it is kind of a nice way to do it because then you have more options and, you know, you can kind of tell which type of people that you want to talk to, right? So.
Yeah, and well, who made the rules, David, that said you have to meet somebody in high school, you have to meet somebody in university, you have to meet somebody at a bar, which seems like a really bad idea, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Right? Who made those rules?
Exactly, yeah. That's more like that's like a common similarity between all the, you know, the meetups and everything. Right? Oh, yeah, we met at a bar. Okay. All right, well, you know, we met online. But, like, you know, out of all the fish online, we were able to meet each other, right? So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Good for you, David.
Yeah, so it was a pretty nice situation. So obviously it worked out. So
appreciate the call, David. Let me see. Grant, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the best place was years ago. That's how I met someone, but it fell through. It was Love Lines on right behind St. Mary's Hospital, where you could go and tape a video of yourself, and then you also could see the other significant person that you want to go out with. And then I don't know if you remember speed dating. Remember that years ago?
Yeah.
That, like, how are you supposed to know someone within a minute, you know? I thought that was kind of a really odd.
Yeah, well, sometimes first impressions, Grant, right?
Yeah, well.
All right, thanks,
yeah,
Grant.
No, I wouldn't go for that.
All right, thanks, Grant. Appreciate it. He's actually brought up Love Line. So that used to be the, if you're not old enough to remember it, and I am, the video dating services, where, as Grant says, you would put a video out there, and other people would put a video out there, and then you could search through all the videos to see, you know, what you found, which is really what you've got now, right? Except it's an online service. It may not necessarily be video, but yeah, that was a, I wonder if that was on that list of businesses that probably won't survive the next 20 years, the video dating service. Well, that didn't survive the next 20 years, did it? No, of course not. So, actually, Pauly, where did you meet the most wonderful woman in the world, obviously?
I met her online, actually.
Online?
Yeah, like online, personal site, I guess. What we
okay.
Want to call it, but I was going to say that I think they still have speed dating, do they not?
Yeah.
I think that's still a thing.
Yeah, I think that's set up at places where you get like 10 or 15 people in the same place and you bounce one. You know, first impressions. Sometimes that makes a world of difference. Like when you first meet me, you discover, well, actually, I am a jerk and I'm difficult to work with. Those are the things you find out when you first meet me. It doesn't change. Other people, you know, maybe their first impression is somewhat more favorable. I don't know.
You know, I kind of like the online dating thing because, you know, as opposed to like walking up to somebody in a bar and it's a complete hit or miss, you kind of got a profile there and you kind of, before you even contact the person, you know that you have A, B, and C in common. So you can start talking to them just based on that.
Yeah, and you're right. You see, but we always had that thing, right, where it's, well, you know, you can just, you meet up in a bar, you'll meet the right person there. Well, you've got a point.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going with a checklist, which to me would not seem to be the right way to approach people in a bar. Do you like long walks on the beach? Yes, you do. Okay. Do you like pets? You find all that stuff.
And I was never really a bar guy anyway, so the online thing really kind of worked out.
Okay. So yeah. So is there anything you remember that you first discovered in that online thing that said, okay, like, we both like cats. Was there something like that?
Oh, for my wife?
Yeah.
You know what? One of the things, first things we discovered, and actually, I don't even think this was in either of our bios, but one thing that we discovered early on that we really like is this, we're both fans of this obscure Canadian comedy group called The Vestibules.
Okay.
And they're very funny. I think they have an album on Spotify, and they have some other stuff, but we were both big fans of them. We were both big fans of the Bare Naked Ladies, and we kind of went from there.
So sharing a sense of humor.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
That's good, because that makes a world of difference. It's funny. My wife and I do not share the same sense of humor, but she enjoys my sense of humor, and I enjoy her understated sense of humor.
Okay.
But when it comes to, you know, comedy or things like that, there's stuff that I like that she has absolutely no interest in whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And also much the same with movies. Because she likes to watch the same movie over and over again, right? Boy and girl eventually meet, they break up, they get back together again at the end. That's the only movie she watches.
So speaking of movies, so we have a thing on the show about those Hallmark Christmas movies.
Right.
I found out recently by flipping around, they do them all year round. Like, it's not a Christmas theme, but every darn day there's some cheesy made-for-TV movie that they've come up with.
Well, I know
it's all year round.
I know they're promoting Loveuary.
Oh, Loveuary.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. I saw it the other day.
Well, I know they were promoting Loveuary because I just saw that. And I was going to ask Brittany, go find us some Loveuary movies that we can maybe guess what goes on.
Yeah,
They're essentially the same as Christmas movies, except without the decorations.
That's right. It's the same movie. They just take the Christmas tree out.
Oh, look, there's Candace Cameron Bure. She's here once again because this is all the work that she does. Since there aren't any more full house renewals, Candace Cameron Bure can come and work in our love stories. Not a fan, but I did see that they were promoting Loveuary, which, hey, good for you. Promoted. It didn't seem to be as out there this year, Valentine's Day, as it has in other years. Maybe that was just me. Tom, go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
Everybody was saying you're on fire. So. you have it right. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside, it isn't. Things have changed so fast. Anyway, about the Valentine's. Let everybody support or do whatever they feel like. And I know the big industry has caught up. They want to evaluate. They want to sell everything. But it's up to them. If you want to do it, fine. If you don't, you don't. You don't have to. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me, Tom. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
Good.
Good. You were just saying how when people first meet you, they think you're a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, I can relate to that. But when I first started listening to you and your show about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I thought you were a prick too. But after listening to you and how you've handled different situations and different people, this and that, you know, you're an all right guy. So I'll give you that.
That's the lie detector determined that was a lie.
That is a stunning endorsement, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Sir, keep up the good work, eh?
Thank you. Yeah, for another 4 days and half an hour, we will keep up the good work. If you've been out of the loop, that's it. I'm at the end of the week, I'll be done. And I'm moving on to some other things, which will be fun, I think. You're still going to see me. I'm not going to tell you how, but I will not be joining another media outlet. I can tell you that much.
But are you going to be the new weather person on CTV?
No. No.
Is Shannon leaving?
No.
Good.
Let's start rumors. I got a note from on Twitter from Daryl Morris from CTV, who I've never worked with, but I've met several times, and I think She does a really good
job.
She
used to work
there.
Here. She's solid.
Yeah. So it's nice when I get notes from, you know, other media people, because one of the things in this business is you don't often get the opportunity to do what I've even done in just the last couple of hours, let alone whatever it is I'm up to the rest of the week. So you don't get that opportunity very often. So I know that there's a lot of people inside the business who are saying, well, this is good. At least you get a chance to do this. I have no intention of tossing the Evil Red Empire under the bus. I just call them the Evil Red Empire because I think it's funny. So I've no plans to do that. We'll continue to talk about serious issues as we go along, and we'll do some less than serious things as well. Now, so I went completely outside the bounds, the parameters of my ability here by deciding that I was going to have a contest on Monday for Valentine's Day. Usually I'm supposed to go through the promotions department, which I didn't. I got the prize independently. We still haven't exactly figured out how that will work, but we'll figure it out by the end of the week. Don't worry about that, because I'm assuming, well, the winner of my contest could be free this evening, but I am not entirely sure how we shall do this contest. But the phone lines will be open on the other side. We can talk about this, and I'll figure it out, and then because I'm not restricted by the parameters of the promotions department, I can give the prize to anybody I want. Kind of the way this works. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
So I'm 35 years on the air here in Kitchener Wireless. That'll be Friday. It's actually technically Monday, but I'm going to lie and say it's Friday. Where I came here to sign on to the music of your dead grandmother's life, which was actually the tagline of the station. No, I made that up.
It was Soft and Easy Favorites.
That was later.
Oh, what? There was another one before that?
Oh, yeah. Soft and Easy Favorites was... And it was... You know, now the weather for the CFCA listening area from Environment Canada, including St. Mary's, Sebringville, and Lucan. That's exactly how you were expected to speak, which has kind of changed a little bit from the way we do, or at least the way I do things now, which surprised people at the time, because all of a sudden it was going from that to, you know, it's rock and roll radio, let's go. That's where that change came. So... We often laughed about it. I did work at a station, and it sounds almost WKRP-ish. I worked in the same building as the station, which gave away a screen door to somebody who lived in an apartment. That was good.
Is that the same station?
Yeah. And
why would you even enter that contest?
That's a fair question. I think, why would you enter?
Who did that? Oh.
So every now and like, you know, and look, I was involved in some really good contests. We gave away a house. We gave away a fully built, finished house.
That was a trend in Kitchener radio for a while. Everybody was giving away a house.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of stations that did it for a little bit. Of course, giving away cars and stuff like that. And over the years, contests really changed because... I had a consultant years ago, and I didn't have a lot of use for consultants, but I liked this one because he didn't pay attention to most of the sarcastic things that I said, but he actually came with some truth. And he said, if you're going to have a contest, it needs to be entertaining to the people who aren't playing. Right? So when I look at that, I look at a thing like a Wheel of Fortune or a Jeopardy. It has to be entertaining to the people who aren't listening or aren't playing as much as the people who are playing, because you're going to get one person out of thousands playing. Why would, you know, this whole thing about, you know, send in your email address, and if we pick your email address, you're a winner. Well, what does that do? And I was always focused on the bid on the air. I could care less about what the promotions department has to do. But I want to do an entertaining bid on the air. So back in the day when we were giving away money because we had like a cash machine that gave away money on the radio...
Instant teller?
Yes. don't get me started.
I guess they don't do that anymore because it's technically a different station.
Yeah, it's a different... then, of course, the name changed. And so one of us had to play the heel, right? Who's always, just go, more money. that made it interesting to everybody else.
Right, because you got to have a dynamic. One person's going to say, I don't know, I would walk away. And the other person goes, no, go for it, come on.
And, you know, if everybody on the team is all sweetness and light, come on, that's not the real world. The real world says you get three people together and somebody's got a chance for money. At least one of those three people is going to be pushing you to be as greedy as possible. It's exactly what's going to happen. So I always like those kinds of contests. Lorraine.
Oh, hi. I was just thinking back to when I was in Hamilton. Did you ever know a Tom Charrington?
Oh, yeah, I knew Tom.
Yeah? Is he still around?
I have to say, did I know Tom that well? If I know he's still alive.
Right, yeah. Well,
I think he is.
That was about the first radio station I ever called in for, you know, for quizzing. Anyway, I didn't win anything, but he said, I'm surprised that as a Canadian, you know that. He had a little sharp edge to him, too. But it was interesting. I also was, as a teenager, I was on the radio for the GCI. It was a little program it's 4:30 Saturday afternoon. High time, yes, indeed. It's 4:30 Saturday. It's time for the latest news, views, sports, interviews, and music on the GCI. Also, I wanted to so he asked me about, I won stuff, too, on radio, a whole series of theater visits.
Nice.
Five, with an opening night and a green room visit afterwards and a limo ride and dinner. And there was really good prizes at that time.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Thanks, Lorraine. We always, I don't know about you, Polly, but like I had to sit through a lot of meetings with consultants, which are painful at the best of times.
We had a meeting when I did the morning show on Country. Was it once a week or once a month? I can't remember. One of those two, we met with a consultant who would air check us, yeah.
Yeah, and the only one that I ever had that was any good said that thing about contests and also said that all the content you have has to be relatable, right? And it's not just enough to mention landmarks in town, things like that. You have to kind of talk about, you know, the things that have mattered to you. So we talk about our kids who go to school and all that stuff because we're sharing that with the audience. Everything has to be to some level relatable.
Yeah.
So I kind of think contests should be the same way. Now, were you a kid? As a kid, did you play contests on the radio?
A couple of times I tried to call in. I remember once years ago on 570 Chime, as it was known at the time, I won something. Because I remember going to the old building that, of course, later years I ended up working in. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I did work it a couple of times.
See, here's a little-known historical fact, you know, from my lifetime in radio here. Before I got the job at the Music of Your Dead Grandmother's Life, I had actually applied to 570 at that point. So we were talking about 1983.
Okay.
1982. Barry Pauly.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, Barry Pauly was the news director at the time. And at that time, you would send in your audition tape.
Literally a tape, literally not an MP3.
Would have been a reel-to-reel.
Yeah, reel-to-reel, even worse.
At that point, so sent in my audition tape. At the time, I was working out of CKWW in Windsor. And so sent in my audition tape, got the nice letter back that said, I'm sorry, but I don't think you'll ever be good enough to work in a market this size.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I think that's probably still true, that I'm still not good enough to work in a market this size. But 6 months later, somebody else offered me a job to come stay in Kitchener. The original plan was to stay for about 2 years. That was it. We were going to stay in 2 years because the big pond of Toronto still beckoned. And at that time in the business, you were nobody if you didn't work in Toronto. So that was it. I was going to work for 2 years here in Kitchener-Waterloo, apply to some stuff in Toronto, get a job there, and then I'd be a big deal. And in the intervening period, I came to the conclusion I would rather be a big fish in a medium pond than a fish in a pond the size of Toronto. Because Toronto, in all honesty, inside radio, you get lost.
So because in Toronto, you got to be Bob McCowan or Marilyn Dennis, like one of the top, you know, three or four people before anybody knows who you are. Yeah,
so it was kind of nice to be in a medium pond. And I will, honest truth, started here in 1983. And for the first 11 years that I started here, I could go anywhere in town and no one knew who I was. Nobody. Didn't matter whether I gave my name. Nobody knew. That was 6 years into my radio career, the first time I had run into that kind of anonymity. And you know the reason why? Because nobody listened to the station.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you're putting on a fake voice and you,
no.
And your real voice. You kind of sound like this.
No, it was nobody listened to the station. Didn't matter where I go. If I gave my name, nobody knew, which was really quite eye-opening. And then, of course, flipped to classic rock, different format, different things happened. And then the next thing you know, it didn't matter where I went. Somebody had heard something about something, which is, if you're in this business and you don't want to be recognized, then get out of this business. That simple. You gotta learn to live with that. Okay, so we're going to have a contest. That has killed enough time that I still don't know what it's going to look like. But we'll try. I see we have a contestant there, and we will take it from there. Of course, the prize.
Got a phone call coming in.
I'm going to miss that. The prize. Dinner for one. Huh. And a scratch ticket. But only one of the $3 scratch tickets. We're not going whole hog on this one. *570-570-2545 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Ooh, look at all the potential contestants. This is nice. Mess with their minds. What I intend to do here. Paulie, you don't know if we... Do we have any contest-type music? Anything at all like that we might have somewhere? No. Ah, there it is. Of course we have contest-type music. Wow, that's an impressive organ. Really is. All right, let me see. This might be more difficult than you think, but if we're going to struggle this far, we go through an entire half hour of the program, I might as well make it worthwhile. So, I am going to go first to Kyle.
Got a phone call coming in.
Kyle.
Howdy, y'all.
Now, look, this is, of course, dinner for one. You're okay with that, right?
I got no potential somebody go out with me. Just all right. All good or whatever.
It does not include canned chicken, so you're good with that, too?
I'm good with that, yep.
Okay, now you know.
There's ketchup involved, right?
It's entirely up to you.
You can put whatever you want on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. We place no parameters. This show is way different. So, Kyle, I'm going to ask you some Valentine's Day trivia questions.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Which you will fail at. And yep. Then I will move on to somebody else. But okay. You might get another opportunity, so you can always call back. I'll give Paulie something to do, right? Because when you miss the question, I will cut you off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, if you answer one question, I'll ask you another one.
Okay.
And because the whole basis of this contest is for me to kill enough time, so I don't have to talk endlessly at the end of the 2:30 half hour. All right? So we understand at this point this is all about me.
Yep.
Got it? Good.
All right,
Kyle. Oh, by the way, I will tell you, here's an interesting bit of Valentine's Day trivia. Do you know the location from which the very earliest known Valentine's message was sent?
No idea.
No idea. Paulie, do you have any idea?
Was it like Marconi?
No, it was from a prison. I'm not making that up. Earliest known message was sent from a prison. Well, you can certainly understand the loneliness factor on that one. I can't wait to get out of the clink. Can I come up with a poem? No, I'm not going to do that. Kyle, Cupid. You know who Cupid is, right?
Yeah, it's a little angel that throws those little darts at people to fall in love.
That's right. You know that. That's very good. That's not the question. Here's the question. Cupid has what name in Greek mythology?
Cupid has what name in Greek mythology?
Yeah, he's not called Cupid in Greek mythology.
He's called something else?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh.
Think. Use your deductive reasoning.
The god of desire?
Oh, it's you're pretty close, but I kind of need the actual name. So I'm going to nuke you, Kyle, but you can call back. Lorraine? Do you know?
Eros?
You are right.
We got a winner. We have a winner.
That is very good. Very, very good. Eros, of course, being the root of the term what?
Eroticism or something?
Yes, eroticism, erotica. All of that fits in there. Let me ask you another question.
Okay.
Has she won or not?
I think so, probably. Yeah, she's run, although other people can hang around to see if they can answer the questions. You knew that one, that Cupid has the name Eros in Greek mythology.
Yep.
How about, how good are you at Roman mythology?
Okay.
Cupid is the son of whom?
What, who is Cupid? Is the son of,
Venus?
No.
Boy, what did you say?
I said Venus.
And you would be right.
Oh, my God, I really guessed it, that one.
Very good. Look, you know what? We'll keep you going.
Okay.
Because apparently Lorraine knows everything about love.
Well, I have a little book. I'm not reading it. It's put away somewhere. And it's a dictionary of Greek and Roman mythology.
So what? Here's another question for you. Okay. What very, well, I'm not sure that it's popular, but it's common. Okay. What very common Valentine's Day candy was first created on equipment made for throat lozenges?
I'll just guess that it's molasses candy kisses?
No. Think about ones that would be heart-shaped and kind of sour.
Well, I can only think of those cinnamon hearts, but that sounds sour.
Sweethearts. Sweethearts came from the lozenge machine.
Oh, I've never heard of
Yes, you have.
Chalky ones.
Right, yeah. Oh, they're ones that essentially taste like chalk.
And they have little messages on them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of those.
Here's another one that you might know, Lorraine.
Sweethearts?
Oh, no. You're going to.
Oh, okay.
You're just going to win, and you're entertaining me, so that's
okay,
what you're saying.
All right.
So you might know the answer to this one because, Lorraine, you strike me as somebody who knows the name of candy producers.
Yeah, I like candy.
There you go. So, who invented the first Valentine's Day Cadbury, or candy box?
Candy box. Well, I'll guess Cadbury because I think you just said it.
I did, as a matter of fact, just say that by complete and utter mistake. It was Richard Cadbury.
Okay.
All right, and these are just wild guesses.
Okay.
How many roses are sent for Valentine's Day each year? Give me an it's more. Wow. It's between 10 and 100 million.
Oh, my gosh. 80 million.
Pretty close. 50 million, apparently.
Oh, so that's halfway between. Okay.
On average, how many marriage proposals are there every Valentine's Day?
Oh, wow. In the world, in Canada?
In North America.
Okay. 1,000.
220,000.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's be honest. Only half of them work out. We know that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So we don't have to worry too much about the things that will happen. Lorraine, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your email address, and we'll figure out the way this works. You have won dinner for one at the Duke of Wellington.
We have a winner.
In actual fact, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate at the Duke of Wellington. So you can probably have dinner and a half.
Right.
All right?
Sure, thank you.
All right, I'm going to throw you on hold for that. And there she goes. Look, I've had a number of people come up with some really good ideas because if you're just joining me this afternoon because you can't stand the first 2.5 hours of the show and you like to listen to the last half hour, this is my last week. So tomorrow will be T-4 and counting. So we'll be walking away at the end of at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Let's just say that we had a differing opinion of what I'm worth. And that is okay in the business world, and we move on. And I've been given the opportunity to kind of have some fun through the rest of the week. So we're talking about a number of different things that we could do. Paulie has suggested we do a bingo with Burke Live on Wednesday, so that's on the table. That might happen. I've got another note from, my one brother, who shares the same last name as I do, and then my other brother, Dave, whose name is Dave Gilgrass, and he spent years and years and years in radio. He is a full brother, but we didn't discover him until about 10 years ago because he had been given up for adoption by my parents, and he spent all this time in radio. So we are considering having the three brothers on at the same time, which has never been done anywhere at any moment. And it might be worth it because as my regular brother, who's not Dave, points out, there's plenty of opinions. Just nobody seems to want to listen to them. So that's another, we are going to have some radio karaoke, but I wanted to wait until Brittany joined us. So she will be joining us, of course, beginning tomorrow at noon. So we'll do some radio karaoke together. We'll do a few other things. And then we will talk about some serious topics as well, because That's kind of what we do. I see a name here. I'll go to it. Mike.
Hey, Brian, why don't you talk about, I got a good topic for you, cornstarch.
Cornstarch. You know what? Here's the problem here, Mike, that my wife went into the cupboard Saturday, and found some cornstarch and said, don't you have a crazy listener who calls about cornstarch? I said, yes.
Yes.
If I knew where he was, I'd give him his cornstarch just so he'd stop.
I hope I can get some. I tried to get it on the weekend, and I still can't get it.
Have you tried a different store yet, Mike? Because we dealt with this earlier.
I don't. No. I'm loyal to these two stores only.
Why are you loyal to these stores if they don't have what you want?
I'm determined to get them.
There's a fine line between determined and stubborn.
I think it's stubborn.
You are on t'other side of said fine line, Michael.
Well, hopefully I can get some. But if
what do you want cornstarch?
About cornstarch, that'd be great.
What do you want cornstarch? Why are you such a thing on cornstarch? What is this? Do you take a bowl full of it at night?
It helps me out.
Okay, it helps you out. I had no idea people were snorting cornstarch in our community, but maybe Mike is the guy that's doing that. We are not, I'm going to tell you right now, except for that, doing a segment on cornstarch at all this week. We will do a few other things, and we'll have a little bit of fun, and we'll try to go out on the right note here, because going out on the right note's really important. I missed that 8 years ago. I didn't get a note at all, and that had always stuck with me, because I think when you're nice enough to invite somebody to come onto your radio, and maybe these days on your smart speaker or computer or however the heck you listen these days, when you're nice enough to do that, it's nice to be able to have the opportunity to say, you know what, I've kind of enjoyed doing this. I probably should have gotten into a better business. I would have made way more money, but I wouldn't have had anywhere near the amount of fun. It is not as a business that is nearly as Wild West as it was when I got into it some 40 years ago. My first job on the air, if you really want to know, was in November of 1977. I was still in college. In fact, that was my first year in college, and my job was to answer the phones in a newsroom and give the English soccer scores on Saturday mornings, because there was no other way to get them. Unless you had a relative.
Did you do it in an English accent?
I
Liverpool beat...
Leicester. They beat Leicester. Right? Or Wolverhampton. So I had to learn all of those things. And of course, if I said, well, you know, Wolverhampton beat Liverpool 2-0, the person on the other end would just tear me a new one, because you had to say 2-0. So learned that. And then I was supposed to start that job in January, because somebody already had it, and I had applied in October.
They're not playing soccer in January.
Well, they do, actually.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was supposed to start that job in January, applied in October, and they told me, yeah, you're good, but you can't start until January. Then an hour later, called me back, because the guy who had the job had come down with mononucleosis, and he was going to be out for a while, so they said, can you possibly come in tomorrow? Because I believe it was a Friday afternoon I was talking to them. Yeah, I'll come in. I'll do that. So we started it off doing English soccer scores, and we moved on to doing the occasional sportscast, newscast. And then, of course, as all great careers in radio know, then I got fired. You've done nothing in this business, you got fired. I got fired on a Thursday, had a new job on the Friday.
Yeah, see, they told us that in college. They say you will be let go at some point.
Sooner or later.
It has never happened to me, touch wood.
Yeah, sooner or later. Maybe you'll be one of the lucky ones. I believe there are only two who actually gathered a pension from a radio station. No idea. We'll be back tomorrow. Fingers really crossed on this one, kids. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.